Thank you, Bernice, for that beautiful prelude. Can we praise God for Bernice this morning? Yes. Thank you for playing for us this morning. Good morning, church family. Good morning to those of you joining us online. We welcome you to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church. We are so grateful that the Lord has led you here this morning and that you can join us as we worship Him, as we hear from His Word, and as we celebrate communion together. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting. We're glad to have you. And we invite you, if you would like, to fill out those yellow cards that you will find in your pews. You can fill those out with any information that you would like us to have, and you can go ahead and put those in the offering baskets that will go around later on in the service. We would love for you to get to know us a little better, and we would love to get to know you a little better as well. The Lord has blessed us with an absolutely gorgeous day, so we are really thankful for that. Yes, amen, amen. It's a new month, and with a new month comes a new joyful noise. So we have printed copies, we have electronic copies, so we encourage you to please read your joyful noise for this month. It's full of fun articles and interesting information about church life here at Alameda CRC. And also this month's includes a list of different opportunities to serve our community. So please do check it out and learn how we can be in our community, sharing God's love and helping others. So a list of opportunities is there for you to see. Yesterday we gathered at the McClure House and we celebrated Layton's graduation. It was a blessed time together. Thank you for having us all over. It was a busy weekend for you. Game night directly followed by a grad party. So thank you, McClure's. And then we also have some other grads to congratulate. So if you see also Eugene, he graduated from high school. We have Brooklyn and Tiernan, who graduated from eighth grade. And then we also have Zeke, who graduated from fifth grade and is moving on up to middle school. So if you see any and all of these individuals, please do congratulate them. We congratulate you, and we are excited to see how the Lord continues to work in your lives. So congratulations. Next, yes, exactly. Way to go. God bless you all. Next Sunday, we're going to have our 4th of July planning meeting. Is that correct, Pastor Matt? Yes. Okay. So we are going to have a float in the parade. We're going to decorate your van, correct? Yeah. So we did it last year. It was a really fun time. We're going to do that again, represent our church, let our city know that we're here, and we would love for them to join us for worship on Sundays and get involved. So if you would like to be included in our representation in the 4th of July parade, please come to that meeting after the service. Yes, so next Sunday, and if you have any questions in the meantime, please do see Pastor Matt for more details. So we hope that you would get involved in the 4th of July parade. And then what's happening at our church this week, our usual ministries, Bible studies. Please do read your bulletin for the schedule of events for the week so you can find out when things are happening, what time, what days of the week, so that you can prayerfully consider how to get involved here at the church. Some things to highlight. Coffee break, is coffee break meeting? No coffee break because of Mount Hermon week? Yes? Okay, so no coffee break, women's Bible study if you're involved in that. And then next Saturday is the men's breakfast over at Marty's. And then, of course, after the service today, immediately following the service, we're going to have our congregational meeting where we will prayerfully draw names to see who the Lord is leading to serve as our next deacon and our next elder. So please plan on staying for that meeting. And then I believe we have our lunch, yummy lunch, provided by our brothers and sisters from Alameda Korean Church. That lunch is happening after that meeting. So please, if you don't yet have plans and you want to fill your tummy up with some yummy food and have a fun time of fellowship, do stay for lunch after all of the events of today. And those are the announcements that I have. So if you are able, would you please stand for our call to worship? And I invite the choir members forward. They're going to lead us in worship this morning. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sook and Jin-hee. All right. Yes, we do. If you would like to join, we practice Sunday afternoons, and we have a lot of fun praising the Lord together. So yes, we would love to have more of you join us. All right. Now, if you would please say with me the words. Let's say the words together. Our call to worship comes from 2 Corinthians 3. Let's say together. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All right, and now let's lift up our voices in praise to the Lord.
I want to see you. Here's the cast greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. From the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the people of God say, Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. Now the choir is going to sing Cantate.
Thank you, Souk. Thank you, choir. It was marvelous. Gather and we sing together and we remember the great sacrifice that God has made in giving us his only Son in the remembrance of communion. Please follow along in yellow. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin.
은혜로우신 하나님, 기쁨으로 당신을 찬양합니다. 주님은 우리를 당신의 형상대로 만드셨으며 우리가 죄를 지었음에도 불구하고 언약을 지키시는 신실한 분이십니다.
We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
하나님 예수 그리스도를 주셔서 감사합니다. 주님은 생명과 죽음과 부활을 통하여 영생의 길을 열어주셨습니다. 그러기에 저희들은 모든 성도들과 천사로 더불어 주님의 영광의 이름을 선포합니다.
give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again.
우리 주 예수 그리스도께서 고난 받으시기 전날 밤 그분의 고난을 기억하게 하기 위해 이것을 주시고 그분이 다시 오실 때까지 지키게 하신 하나님께 감사드립니다.
At his last supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
주님은 마지막 만찬에서 떡을 떼시며 축사하신 후에 이것은 너희를 위한 나의 몸이니 이것을 통하여 나를 기억하라고 하셨습니다.
In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me."
같은 방법으로 식사 후에 잔을 들고 이것은 새 언약의 피니 이것을 향하여 나를 기억하라고 하셨습니다.
For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
이에 우리는 주님이 다시 오실 때까지 성찬을 행할 때마다 이것을 통하여 그분을 기억하고 있습니다.
Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament.
그러므로 우리는 이 성찬을 통하여 확인되고 보증된 우리의 믿음을 고백합니다.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
주 하나님, 우리에게 성령을 보내주셔서 이 떡과 잔이 우리를 위해 우리 주 예수 그리스도께서 지키시고 흘리신 주님의 몸과 피가 되게 해주셔서 감사드립니다.
May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love.
주님, 저희들과 모든 성도들이 예수님과 하나 되게 하시고 소망과 사랑 안에 신실하게 거하게 하옵소서.
Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray.
오 주님, 당신의 모든 교회를 부르셔서 당신의 영광에 들어가게 하옵소서. 저희들은 이제 주님께서 가르쳐 주신 기도를 드리옵나니.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All who are baptized into the body of Christ and are truly sorry for their sins, who believe in Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him, are invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord.
그리스도의 몸으로 세례를 받고 자신의 죄를 진심으로 뉘우치는 사람, 예수님 한 분을 구주로 믿는 사람, 그분께 순종하는 삶을 살기로 작정하는 모든 사람들은 이 주님의 성찬에 참여하실 수 있는 초청을 받으셨습니다.
bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Let us join together in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, first we are so grateful to you for the opportunity, Lord, this morning to share in the sacrament of communion, to remind ourselves of your sacrifice, Jesus, to remind us that we are united to you and we are united to one another, Lord, in you. Continue, Lord, to build unity. Continue, Lord, to build in us a deep love and connection to you. Continue, Lord, to expand our grateful hearts in responses of love to you and to our community. Lord, I recognize your great work in cultivating the fellowship of believers here. That, Lord, we desire to live into your word, to be people of your word, anchored in your truth. So, Lord, I can joyously celebrate your good work in each of the lives, Lord, here at Alameda CRC. I thank you, Lord, for your continued work amongst our neighbors, our co-workers, family, and friends. And Lord, I can also, with great thanksgiving, celebrate, Lord, your hope and joy and love. You have indeed made us your children, and we are indeed dearly loved by you. And so, as your children, Lord, we come recognizing your answers to the prayers of your people. And so we thank you, Lord, for the healing that you have continued to do in Luann after her knee surgery. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening and mobilizing her knee. We thank you, Lord, for giving her the perseverance and patience and wisdom, Lord, to navigate the physical therapy. We thank you, Lord, for putting in her life all of those surgeons and physical therapists and doctors. And Lord, you are a giver of good gifts, and you have given many. We also, Lord, thank you for the healing that you continue to bring about in Nick after his accident. We pray, Lord, that it would be complete and full, that strength in his arm would return, and Lord, that the scarring would be lessened and lessened each day. Lord, we also thank you for Gia and bringing her to a place of not having cancer. And we pray, Lord, that you would hold this true and that, Lord, you would grant her the joyous news from your hand of being in remission. And Lord, we also lift up to you Julian, and we thank you, Lord, for the healing that you have begun and continue to do. And Lord, we ask that you would carry it to completion, and that upon his return to the doctors at the end of the month, that, Lord, you would spare him from surgery. Lord, we entrust him into your care, and we know that you are good. And gracious Heavenly Father, we lift to you those, our loved ones who are in nursing homes and assisted living homes. We think especially, Lord, of Winnie and Arenda and Keiko. And we pray, Lord, that you would enfold them in your love as you have their whole lives, reminding them, Lord, of your great provision and faithfulness, of your presence in their life, day in and day out, from the time they wake to the time they go to sleep. And as they sleep, Lord, you watch over them. Just as Psalm 121 says, that you neither slumber nor do you sleep, but you watch over your people. Continue, Lord, to send your servants into their lives, reminding them of the truths of who you are. You are, Lord, able and continually willing to point them to you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith, that they may fix their eyes on Jesus, Lord, and may they be testimonies to your goodness. And gracious Heavenly Father, we also want to lift to you those that are mourning. Think of Royce and Loretta specifically. And Lord, you are indeed our great comfort. We grieve, Lord, but we grieve like those that have hope. Hope, Lord, that you have ensured for us in the resurrection of your Son, the first fruits, that while we may pass away, that we may die in this life, the eternal life that is afforded to us is true. And we have it to look forward to. We have, Lord, the wonderful hope of being reunited with our loved ones. Even in the midst of our grief, Lord, we cling to your hope of salvation. And we pray, Lord, for peace and comfort. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to support, would continue to persevere and preserve, Lord, your people. Heavenly Father, we also lift to you those that are struggling with health issues. We think of Pastor Dave and Mr. Daniel Park and Mrs. Choi. We think of, Lord, all of those others in our lives that continue to struggle with colds and flus and ailments. We ask, Lord, for your healing, and we recognize that we can trust you for it, for you are good. And whatever comes before us, Lord, you are always with us, and nothing is out of your control, and we can rest, Lord, in your will, for it is good, for you are good. And gracious Heavenly Father, again, I can't help but praise your name for the work that you are doing amongst your people. For the opportunities this last month that we have had to step into the lives of our neighbors and of our communities. I thank you, Lord, for the Memorial Day barbecue and being able to fellowship and invite people into the joy of knowing you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve the kids this last year, culminating in the hot dog cook-off, Lord, and the joy that the kids experienced in the midst of your people in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that is to declare your goodness, to show, Lord, an opportunity to taste and see that you are good, Lord. May you ignite in them a hunger for you and a zeal to serve you and know you. May you move and continue, Lord, to move amongst us. Heavenly Father, as we anticipate the congregational meeting, we ask for your guidance and your provision and your direction, Lord, that we may walk in step with you, Spirit, that we may humbly come into your presence, Lord, and follow you. Bless our meeting, O Lord. Bless the work that you continue to set before us to do. May, Lord, we, your people, this morning, throughout our entire lives, be testimonies to your glory and your goodness. By your power, through your might, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. At this time, I'll invite our deacons forward this morning. We will be receiving an offering for the general fund here at Alameda Christian Reformed Church. You may be seated. All right, I think we're dismissing kids. If you come forward, we'll dismiss you. If you don't see your teacher in the back, or if you see a replacement teacher in the back, then you can go. All right, a little sign language, we dismiss you. But just a wait. All right, the Lord be with you. Yeah, so be careful, the windows. You know, we say that every week, but I don't know that I've ever seen a kid run into the window. Not yet. Oh, well, not yet.
Well, now that you said it, they'll run into
the window. Oh, yeah. there it is. Okay. We're going to John chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 38, 31 through 36. All right, so opening up your Bibles. I want you to go there. If you're looking for John, fourth gospel in the New Testament, second third of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We were in Acts this last month, so those of you who are returning from last month, super easy to find, because your bookmark was already there, right? You just go to the left. John chapter 8, if you're using a pew Bible, we don't have the number up there. Someone have the number? Okay, 1029 is the number. Oh my goodness, 1063, see that's why I don't trust the numbers. Don't trust the numbers, 1063, we're going to John chapter 8, we're reading 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Amen. Lord, we gathered together celebrating, recognizing, submitting to you. And here this morning, again, we come to you in prayer, asking you, Holy Spirit, to move amongst us, to move your truth into our lives, to set us free, free to glorify you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. We are beginning a new series. We ended last season with the series through Acts, celebrating the work of the Holy Spirit in his church and bringing us into a place in which we are looking forward to being engaging outside the walls. Now we're moving into Galatians. Really? No reaction to that? We read out of John.
I was still signing.
Okay, Elaine has an excuse. Yeah, wait a minute. Okay, good. I want you to be there with me, because Galatians is a brilliant book. All of them are brilliant books. Galatians is a brilliant book in demonstrating to God's people true freedom. And we open this series with the text from John, because this is the heart of Galatians, is what Jesus said to his disciples. The Son will set you free, and you will truly be free. So we, as Americans, are also then celebrating this year 250th anniversary of our great nation. What makes our great nation so great? Well, I would argue that it stems from probably the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And the Declaration of Independence here at the beginning, recognizes that the rights in which we have today are given to us by a creator God, not our government, but inalienable rights from God. And that those rights then, established and protected by the government, creates an environment in which we can experience freedom. And I say it like this, because I don't believe that freedom, just like our rights, comes from God. What the government is entrusted to do is to give us an environment in which we might express true freedom. And this great experiment has shown us over the 250 years the truth of God's scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, you may be seed of Abraham. You can trace your lineage right back to Abraham. But if you sin, you're a slave to sin." And I say that we as a country have sought to cultivate an environment to express freedom, because what we have seen is when we create this environment, we human beings gravitate to enslavement. We bind our hearts and our wills to just about anything and everything. We are subservient to our finances. They dictate to us what we do, where we go. They call us and they command us to be slaves. Addictions abound. There's not a whole lot that we can't find to be addicted to in an environment that frees us to choose. And we go right to it. Again and again and again. We Americans are just like those disciples sitting there before Jesus, and Jesus says, "I am here to set you free." And we're looking at him going, "We're Americans, of course we're free." Jesus says, "If you're a sinner, you are a slave to sin. You're stuck." But nowhere else in this world or through this history has afforded an individual such an opportunity as to live into the wonderful relationship with Jesus. The constraints are gone to say no to sin and yes to Jesus, and finding the yes in Jesus finds the true freedom. The freedom that we are so sure and so confident that we have because we're Americans. And I say, no, it is the Son who sets you free, not America. America gives us the environment in which we can express this without fear of persecution. What a gift from God. But it isn't an equal exchange. We have the environment, but are we willing to step into it? Scripturally step into that opportunity to embrace true freedom. And the reason why we're going to, this is one of the reasons why we're going to Galatians, because the church that Paul planted, the churches in Galatia that Paul planted, he offered them this freedom in Jesus, and they were living it and expressing it and enjoying it. And then the people came into their lives, Judaizers, religious officials with credentials, with education, and they said, "You're doing it wrong." You're not free to do whatever you want. You must do this. And it had nothing to do with Jesus. And they said, okay. We're happy to. We want to be just like you. But they had been enslaved to sin, the sin of pride, the sin of self-righteousness, the sin of self-assured forgiveness. Because at the heart of this argument is, I did it right, Lord, so now you owe me. God doesn't owe anyone. And that's the crass way to put it. We don't ever put it that way in our hearts. We put it more like, Lord, I have been a good person, and I really want you to do blank. And then when he doesn't, you're like, fine, God. I'm going to work hard for you, and I'm not going to get payment for it. Then I'm out. I'll see you later. Stop going to church. Stop reading the Bible. I don't need a God who doesn't do this exchange with me. That's labeled self-righteousness and a self-service. I have done this, Lord. Now you do that. God offers us something better. God offers us the gift of being shackleless from sin. Being delivered from. Delivered from our heart's desire to be bound by sin. By making us a new creation. Not tinkering with the old just to get it working again, but a brand new creation. And so in this next several months, so buckle in with me, we're going to go through Galatians. And to introduce Galatians then, as we come with that base, with that heart understanding, that Galatians is about freedom. Galatians is about what Christ does to set us free. Galatians is about saying no to the oppressive pieces that we are so naturally intended to into the freedom of Jesus. That introduction is what I'm looking forward to next week as we look at the first five verses of Galatians. And in view of that great gift, we're going to watch the Bible Project, summary of Galatians. If you're not familiar with the Bible Project, oh, you are in for a treat. If you are familiar with it, oh, you are in for a treat. So this is the summary of Galatians from the Bible Project.
It was written to a number of churches in the region of Galatia, where Paul had traveled on one of his missionary journeys. You can read the stories in the book of Acts. He wrote this important letter from a place of deep passion and frustration. Here's the backstory. Christianity began as a Jewish messianic movement in Jerusalem, but its message was for all humanity, and so it quickly spread beyond Israel. By Paul's time as a missionary, there were as many non-Jews as there were Jewish people in the Jesus movement, and this sparked a huge debate that we know about from the book of Acts chapter 15. Historically, the covenant people of God were focused in one ethnic group, Israel, and they were set apart by the practices commanded in the Torah, like circumcision of males, eating kosher, observing the Sabbath. And there were many Jewish Christians who believed that for all of these non-Jews to truly become a part of God's family,
they needed to obey the laws of the Torah. And so some of these Jewish Christians ended up coming to the Galatian churches. They were undermining Paul and demanding circumcision of all these male non-Jewish Christians. And so many of them were. And when Paul found out, he was brokenhearted and angry. And this letter is the result. He first challenges the Galatians with his summary of the gospel message about the crucified Messiah. He then argues that this gospel is what creates the new multi-ethnic family of Jesus and Abraham. And then he shows how this gospel is what truly transforms people by the presence and power of the Spirit. He opens by expressing his bewilderment that the Galatians have embraced a different gospel. It's the one promoted by these Christians who badmouth Paul and demand circumcision. So Paul first defends the authenticity of his message and authority as an apostle. He was commissioned by the risen Jesus himself to go to the non-Jewish world. Remember the story from the book of Acts. Paul says it was only later that he went to Jerusalem to consult the other apostles like Peter or James. And when he told them he wasn't requiring non-Jewish Christians to be circumcised or eat kosher, they were in full support. But this tension ran deeper. Peter had come to Antioch to visit and see all of these non-Jewish Christians, and he was eating and mingling with them. But when some of this Jerusalem opposition group showed up in Antioch, Peter caved under their pressure. He stopped eating with these uncircumcised Christians, and he was avoiding them. And so Paul confronted and accused Peter of hypocrisy, of not staying true to the gospel. For Paul, demanding these new Christians to become circumcised and Torah observant, it's wrong-headed for all kinds of reasons. First of all, because it's a betrayal of the gospel. Or, in his words, people are not justified by the works of the Torah, but rather by the faith of Jesus the Messiah. And we have faith in the Messiah Jesus. To be justified, or literally to be declared righteous, it's a rich Old Testament term for Paul. It's when God declares that someone is in a right relationship with him. They're forgiven, they're given a place in God's family, and they are being transformed by God's grace. And it's Paul's conviction that no one can be justified by observing the commands of the Torah, but only by the faith of Jesus. This is a dense phrase, and it could refer to Jesus' own faithfulness in living and dying on our behalf, or it could refer to our own trust and devotion to Jesus. Either way, the point is clear. People are justified only through trusting in what God did for them through Jesus, not by what they do for themselves. At the heart of Paul's gospel is this claim that when people trust in the Messiah Jesus, what's true of him becomes true of them. His life, death, and resurrection become theirs. Or in his words, I've been crucified with the Messiah, and it's not I who come back to life, it's the Messiah living in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so the reason anyone can say that they are right with God or belong to Jesus' covenant family, it's not because they obeyed the laws of the Torah. It's only because of what Jesus did for them that they could never do for themselves. Now, this profound understanding of what Jesus accomplished, it has huge implications for who can now be included in God's covenant family and for what it means to live as a member of that family. So Paul first turns to the stories about Abraham in Genesis, how he was justified or declared righteous before God by simply having faith, by trusting in God's promise that one day all nations would find God's blessing through him and his offspring. God's purpose was always to have one large multi-ethnic family of people who relate to him on the basis of faith, not on the laws of the Torah. But that raises an important question. Why did God give the laws of the Torah to Israel then? Here Paul offers a very brief and dense explanation that he will later fill out in his letter to the Romans. He observes that the laws of the Torah were given to Israel at Mount Sinai long after God's promise to Abraham. And if you read the Torah carefully, he says, you'll see that God always intended the laws to be a temporary measure. He says the laws had both a negative and a positive role. Negatively, the laws acted like a magnifying glass on Israel's sin. They exposed how Israel shared in the sinful human condition, constantly rebelling against God's law. And so the law, which is good, ended up pronouncing Israel guilty and all humanity with them. Or in his words, the laws imprisoned everyone under the power of sin. But the laws also had a positive role. They acted like a strict school teacher that kept Israel in line until the coming of the promised offspring of Abraham, the Messiah. And once the Messiah came, He fulfilled the purpose of the laws on Israel's behalf. Jesus was the faithful Israelite who truly loved God and neighbor. And as Israel's king, he died to take the curse and consequence of Israel's failure into himself and bring redemption. And so now through Jesus, the offspring of Abraham, God's blessing can come to all people, regardless of their ethnicity, social status, or gender. For Paul, requiring Torah observance from non-Jewish Christians, it makes no sense. It's acting as if Jesus didn't fulfill God's promise or deal with our sins. It neglects the new freedom gained for us through Jesus and the gift of the Spirit, and it limits God's promise and blessing to one ethnic family. But, Paul's opponents might argue, the laws of the Torah, they're a proven guide to living according to God's will. How will non-Jewish Christians learn this? Paul responds in chapters 5 and 6 by describing how Jesus' transforming presence through the Spirit is the key. The laws of the Torah are good. They're wise, Paul says. In fact, they can all be summarized, as Jesus did, in the command to love your neighbor as yourself. But the laws, good as they are, they did not give Israel the power to obey them. In contrast, the good news is that Jesus did fulfill the laws on our behalf, and now he lives in us through the Spirit, making his people into new humans who fulfill the law by loving others. So Paul goes on to contrast this old and new humanity. The habits of the old humanity are obvious. These are behaviors that dehumanize people, they destroy relationships and whole communities. And while the laws of the Torah prohibited these behaviors, Jesus actually put them to death on the cross. So when a person trusts in Jesus and lives in dependence on the Spirit, his life becomes theirs and produces what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. This is Jesus' way of life that he wants to reproduce in his family so that they become people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But this fruit isn't automatic, Paul says. It requires cultivation, just like real fruit. Or in his words, if we live by the Spirit, we have to keep in step with the Spirit. This requires intentionality. We have to learn how to prune off our old habits and cultivate new ones. And as we do so, we find ourselves carried along by the Spirit as Jesus reshapes our minds and hearts and makes us into people who love God and others. And in this way, Jesus' people fulfill what Paul calls the Torah of the Messiah. In the end, Paul concludes, this requirement for Christians to become Torah observant or be circumcised, it's an adventure in missing the point. What really matters is God's new creation, this new multi-ethnic family of the Messiah, people full of faith in Jesus who are learning to love God and others in the power of the Spirit. And that's what the letter to the Galatians is all about.
So I'm inviting you along this journey with me to figuring out what it really means to be free, that the Son has set us free. Shall we join with each other? Would you join with me in prayer? O gracious God, whose will it is for us to be free, grant us grace to stick with Jesus' words and to live as his disciples. And thus, Lord, knowing the freedom only you, Jesus, the Son, can give, snap our chains and make us a people who loose the chains of others. In the name of the free Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of response is, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. If you are able, please stand and we will join in singing together.
Thank you.
Receive the Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ lead you into the freedom for which Christ has set you free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, may you know true freedom, peace, and joy. Amen. Amen. All right, members of the church, please hang out. Elaine, close your ears. You may go get coffee and come back.